Welcome back to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online at DonahueAccountingService.com. I'm your host, Alex Meacham, former Bearcat basketball player from 1997 to 1999 under the Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins.
And I'm Neil Meyer with the Front Office News.
And I'm JT Smith, Editor-in-Chief of the Front Office News.
All right, fellas, we're back for another episode. Let's jump right into it. The Bearcats are currently 16-12 after losing to Houston, 69-67. JT, thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
All right, so, man, all right. The Bearcats turned the ball over too much against Houston, but they didn't get punked like they did at fifth third early, which was good. They just missed a lot of shots they should have made. Like, they were 2 of 15. And they probably missed, like, 6 layups in that process, and that's where I think they lost the game at the end of the day. That, and then that BS flagrant foul they caught on Aziz Bandego, that ended up Houston ended up winning by 8. They went on an 8-0 run off of that play. It was 2 free throws, 2 threes back to back, and the Bearcats scrapped and scratched and clawed. But that play, how they started the game ended up burning them more so than anything. Dan didn't really get going until late. I thought Jizzle had a real good second half. It was good to see Victor Lockin get some quality minutes, play well. That's great, honestly. That's probably one of the best things to take away from this game. He played physical. He didn't get pushed around. That's something that we haven't seen from him in a month, maybe. So that was real good to see against Houston to answer the bell. I know people are, like, pissed that they lost, but, I mean, after how they got, punked at TCU, to see them answer against Houston, number one team in the country, I wish they could have got the dub. At the same time, it gives me hope for the last three games. And I don't know, I'm not going to jump the gun on that, but I feel like they lost, yes, but it shows that they haven't quit on Wes Miller. That's at the end of the day, people, I feel like people want Wes Miller to head still, but at the same time, it's like, man, you go from the AAC, which we talked about, to the Big 12. And I know it sounds like we're making excuses, but just being real, you go from one of the, I don't know how many conferences it is in college basketball, but you go to a mid-tier basketball conference to the best basketball conference, and you just now, the season's almost over, and you haven't got blown out until TCU. So,
yeah,
it's one of those things, man. You got to kind of humble yourself and think about the whole process. And that's why I'm breaking down this game this way. Because if the Bearcats would have got blown out by TCU and then jumped in the water and got blown out by Houston again, then that's kind of one of those things where you kind of got to question stuff a little bit tougher. But to me, they answered the bell. They didn't win. But at the end of the day, they're not folding on the coach. And that's half the battle right there. So I'm personally happy how they played overall. Because the sad thing is, if they would have just cleaned up a few things, they might have could have stolen that game. And that's the sad thing about these two games they played against Houston. At fifth third, they definitely could have won that game. And then in this game, they were down by a lot, and then they kind of pushed. But at the beginning of the game, they were locked. I mean, Houston was only shooting 30% too. And that's something the Bearcats got to respect and hang a cap on and not, beat themselves up. They got to make the layups too. I guess the coaches will look at that, but not the ramble. I'm not pissed about how they played against Houston.
Yeah, JT, I you make some great points. And I look at the score. I mean, 59-67. I don't know about you, but at one point during the game, I'm like, man, this is going to get Master P shoe ugly.
Yes, sir.
I had to bring that back. I had to bring it back. But I thought it was going to get, but once again, they've proven that they're resilient. And like, I think you made a lot of good points. They didn't give up. They didn't give up on their coach. And I was glad to see that, JT.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Not the – yeah, man, because I thought it was about to get real ugly in the first half. I think I might have been talking with Neil. And I was like, oh, man, this is looking like it's about to be like a 20 ball. I think I might talk to a couple of my other homies. I'm like, it looks like it's 20 ball on the – like early 20 ball, like beginning of the second half. I'm like, uh-oh. And they just kept fighting, man. That's what makes you wish like they didn't turn the ball over as much as they did. I think they turned over like 18 times. Is that right? I'm right on that one. 18 times. You cut that. You could just get down to 13, 14. That helps. And then just make a couple of the layups that you could have made, especially early on that run. They were getting shots that they wanted. I thought they actually got better shots in this game against Houston than they did at Fifth Third Arena, for the most part. And that sounds like if you were talking to somebody, sounds like, oh, this dude's a Bearcat Kool-Aid drinker. But they were getting layups and shots at the rim. They just didn't make them. And against Houston, you can't do that, because that's why you lose, because they're going to play physical. And after a while, they're gonna have some good defensive stance. They're gonna make you turn the ball over more than you normally do. So if you don't make the shots you're supposed to make, then you're putting your back against the wall even more than you need to be, you know. So but yeah, they didn't give up. And I thought definitely about to get Masterpiece Shoot Ugly. Either the Converse or the Moneyottis.
Man, I need to get you a pair of those for Christmas, man.
Please don't. Don't waste your money on those. Don't. You get better off. Give me some Team J's. Some of the, I call them Hispanic specials.
I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to transition right to Neil. Hey, Neil. I want you to touch on this a little bit. So after the game, Wes Miller had a few choice words, about the Bearcats, the program, the performance. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the post-game press conference following the Houston loss, Wes Miller made a statement that said, "Don't come at my players, come at me." And when that was the responsibility that he made, it was because following the last few games, if you're on social media, there's those crazy fans who always think it's on the players or on the coach for they're not trying hard enough. They missed the free throw. They cost the game. But people forget in the end that these are human beings. Like, they're not, nobody's perfect in this world. So for them just to go on social media, be a keyboard warrior, and just kind of crap on people is just not the way to do it. So Wes Miller made a statement. Like, he sees that people are fans. He knows fans are upset. He made a statement, and I thought it was a great statement because that shows that he cares about where this program is going, what he is trying to do here. He knows that the results could have been better, but it shows right now that they're ready to do whatever they can to get this thing back on track. So I thought it was a strong statement. I know we talked about it, but overall, I thought that was a statement that it really stood out because he knows what this program is trying to do. And for anyone who's followed a Wes Miller program, look at the amount of success that he has had in year three or after. You use UNCG as a prime example of that. It takes time to build a foundation, and people are just so quick to jump the gun and say, hey, okay, we're in the Big 12. We should be competing right away. You guys still have to think this is year three. He's still getting his pieces, his staff together. Everything's just now falling into place for Wes Miller. He's getting things going on the right track. He's doing a fantastic job here. And overall, I thought that was just a very powerful statement. And I know we all talked about it and shared our thoughts on that topic as well.
And Neil, didn't he say something about, hey, you know, if you're not for this program, I don't want you around. I forget how he said it, but I actually love that because I love the things he said in regards, you know, and that's true on social media. It's like, don't go after these players because that looks bad for recruiting too, because recruits see that stuff. And if I'm a recruit and I'm seeing all these fans bashing players, I'm like, yeah, I'm not about that. You know what I mean? They see that. Now, I do love what he's also saying. Hey, we're building something special, and you need to ride with us. If not, then get gone. And I love that, Neil.
Yeah, I love that as well. I really did.
So, just a couple, thoughts I have. I don't know how you guys feel, but I loved to see, Vic kind of get going a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some things. Neil, help me out. What was the stat line for Vic?
11-9 in 21 minutes. The most minutes he's seen in the last month and a half, roughly.
Yeah. And I was pleased to see that, because I still think, he's a big part of this program and this team. And I love to see him, get back going. And I just to kind of piggyback what everybody else said, I do love this team's fight. You know, if you really look at the conference play this year, outside, of a couple situations, this team has fought, and competed all season. And I absolutely love that. And so we're going to see what happens this Saturday when the Bearcats take on Kansas State at 7 p.m. in the beautiful Fifth Third Arena. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Now let's jump into the Big O segment sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. In this segment, we cover players to watch and key matchups. JT, who should we look out for from the Bearcats? Let's see who you got.
Man, that's a good question. All right, so honestly, I'm going with Dan Skillings, man. Okay. I think like he had a real strong like last 5 minutes. And I think he's going to carry that over in the fifth third. I think he's going to have a real big game. I think he's going to – I mean, he always rebounds the ball well. I think he plays – his defense is getting even better. I think he will take that to heart and have a real solid game where he's either super efficient or he's going to, like, make plays for others. I think he's going to have – I'm looking for him. He's been our leading scorer. I feel like he's going to have a solid 15, man. I think he's going to do it, and he's going to do it real well, have about 5 to 7 rebounds, and then, a couple steals. Just fill the stat sheet up, which he normally does. I think he's going to do that, but more efficient this game. And I think he's going to be his presence is going to be known a lot earlier than it was against Houston, I think, against K-State. So that's what I'm rolling with, Dan Skillings.
Yeah, because you're right, JT. He kind of came on late there with the Houston game.
Yeah, he did. That's what made that – when you thought the game was super over, when he made that spurt, I mean, the game got a little – it was in doubt. You know what I mean? I thought it was over, So I think Jizzle played good, though. Like, so I'm doing better in my calls. I just – Jizzle didn't have a good first half. But his second half, Jizzle was balling. So I'm – getting better at these picks late in the season. I just hope they start adding up to wins for the Bearcats, because this might be falling on deaf ears. We need a couple wins to just perk everybody up a little bit.
Well, for sure. Hey, Neil, let's jump into you and who we need to watch out for from Kansas State. But if you could give us a quick any health updates on CJ Frederick.
Yeah, so obviously CJ Frederick missed the Houston game, which was the second game in a row. It is the same hamstring that he injured earlier in the season, but Wes Miller gave an update on his weekly radio show tonight that this time it's just not as serious of a setback as what the first time was, and he did anticipate him potentially being back this season at some point, whether that is over the next 3 games or the Big 12 tournament, which was positive news to hear that, but he did say that he had plans to potentially see CJ Frederick back on the court this season, which the Bearcats desperately need, to be honest. He said there is hope that CJ Frederick returns, that as he didn't re-aggravate it to the same level in which he hurt it the first time this season, but there is hope that he will return this season. So
good
that's
news.
That's good news. And now jumping into Kansas State, they're led by the North Texas transfer in Tyler Perry, who is one of the most highly sought out transfers in the transfer portal this offseason, before committing to Jerome Tang in the Kansas State Wildcats. He leads the team in scoring 15.6 points per game. But this is a guy who is really struggling to shoot the ball from behind the arc. He's shooting at 36% from three. But what he does so good what he's so good at is getting downhill and getting to the free throw line. I think he's shooting roughly close to 150 free throws on the season, and he's shooting 91% from the foul line. So that's something you don't see very often, is a player shooting that high of a percentage, 91% from the foul line. So for the Bearcats, you just cannot allow him to get to the free throw line and go contact hunting, because he'll get to the foul line, to say the least. And then Arthur Kaluma is the team's best three-point shooter. He's shooting at 39% from behind the arc. He's a 6'7" wing, but he's the team's leading rebounder. This is a smaller Kansas State team, but Arthur Kaluma has been a problem. He's been a key piece to the Wildcats' success over the last few seasons, and he's returning for this upcoming season. So he decided to return after testing the NBA draft waters, but he is a 6'7" wing, shooting on 43% from the field. But anytime a guy is averaging 15-7, I think this might be a matchup for a guy like Dan Skillings or a John Newman potentially. But Tyler Perry and Arthur Kaluma are going to be your guys that take up most of the attention for Kansas State. But they have a very good backcourt too. Point guard Cam Carter is averaging 15-5 as well. So they have three guys hovering right there around averaging 15 points a game, which you look down at it, that's pretty significant, because everybody else outside of that is averaging no more than 8 points a game. So those three guys hold all of the scoring just about for Kansas State.
All right. You know what time it is. Man, I'm starting to like that song quietly. Sometimes I just play it in the car. Here we got. I'm just kidding. I don't. We got the name game with Neil Meyer. This is where fans, we go onto the opposing team's website and we look at the names of the players on the roster, and we have Neil pronounce them. Now, in the past, obviously with the influx of foreign players in the game right now, there are some wild, wild names. So I've got a two-parter today. All right. So let's do Kansas State. In the last couple games, I kind of threw some wild cards at you with some different rosters. But let's jump into Kansas State. Neil, do you have Kansas State up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number zero.
Quez Glover.
Number one.
Number one is David Ngusin.
Say that last name again.
Ngusin.
I like that. Number four.
Number four is Dede Ames.
All right, wait, say that again. Say the first name.
Dede Ames.
Dede?
D-A-I-D-A-I. Dede Ames.
We got two Dede's on the court?
Yes, sir.
Maybe.
Dede Beef.
Dede Beef. Number 23.
Number 23 is McCaleb Rich.
All right. I'm going to throw a wild card at you. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I thought those were kind of mid. Those weren't too difficult. Go to New Mexico State's roster, Neil. Go check that out. Now, JT, there's one on here. Yeah, there's definitely one on here. Let me know when you're there, Neil.
Sounds good.
And I can't wait to see your reaction to this, JT. New Mexico State's roster. You ready, Neil?
Yes, sir.
Number one.
Demerle Baker.
How you say your first name?
Demerle.
Number six.
Number six. Hold on. The roster I'm looking at doesn't have a number six.
Hold on. Because you said Baker, you got me up. No, you got New Mexico State, right?
Yeah.
New Mexico State.
I'm about to say, hold on. You said Baker. I was like, hold on.
I got the wrong one. Hold on. I got you.
You're slipping. I didn't even recognize. Okay, here we go. I got it now.
You got to go back to number one.
Number one.
Number one is Keoso Edegu. There we go.
There you go. Some struggle. That's what I wanted to hear.
We want some struggliness. Say it again, Neil.
Keoso Edegu.
And there, if you see a picture of him, he looks mad. Look at
him. Dude, he like he'll punch through a wall. Like, this dude, you got to think about it. Like,
speaking of that,
he's like, he's on all the smoke.
Looking at his roster right now, he's on his fourth school right now, fourth college, UTEP, Kansas State, Sam Houston, and now New Mexico State. He's on his fourth school.
Like an NBA journeyman.
That's why he's mad.
Yeah, it is. He can't never find a home. Look at him. He cut his mustache off and everything. He looked crazy.
He's mad they cut his mustache.
He cut his mustache. He got the chin hair with no mustache. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
All right. It's crazy.
All right, number six, right?
Yeah. Christopher, he ain't got no picture.
What's that?
Christopher Bayeku. There we go.
No picture.
What did you say before? You said Biku, right?
Yeah, Bayeku is where I'm going.
The first time.
Number.
Really have a picture.
Number nine.
Number nine is Tanaj Petway.
Okay. That first name was tough.
That is. Number 11.
Femi Odukale.
That's pretty good.
That was good. Say that last name again.
Odukale.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
And now maybe one of my favorites. Oh, number four, number 14.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Shit. This dude's a legend.
Say it again, man.
Yak Yak?
Yak Yak.
Yak Yak, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. He's number one.
He takes the cake. Now, if you look at his picture, I would say that's Yak Yak.
Yes, definitely Yak Yak. Yak is so
I think we have a winner.
Hey, he has to have an NIL deal by Hennessy. Or do say, Jace, you need to holler at him. Yak Yak? Come on now. That's too easy.
That's
like, do say you need to holler at him. He needs to be in commercials. If he don't make it to the league, he's a freshman. This dude needs to be sponsored.
The NIL deal when he's not old enough to drink now, JT.
He don't got to drink it. He just got to be the sponsor, man. He's got to sponsor him. You got to do the right thing. Yak Yak? Come on now.
Yak Yak. What do you think
Yak Yak, bro.
What do you think his middle name is?
Man, listen, his name is Cavassier. I don't know. Yak, Cavassier, Yak. I don't know. Henny, Yak. I don't even know. Being Yak Yak, you can't have a middle name, actually.
That's like what the kid from West Virginia, Akaka Cock, what's his middle name?
Oh, man.
That's too much, man. We might get banned if I start saying what his middle name could be.
We might get our podcast might get flagged on that one.
Yeah, you might get flagged. You can't post our stuff. That's wild.
You think Yak Yak takes the cake?
Yeah, Yak Yak is
definitely up there with a Kaka Kaka.
Yeah, that's like neck and neck. Yak Yak is cooler than a Kaka Kaka. Like, if we're gonna double me up, I'll take Yak. Yak Yak is crazy because like if basketball don't work out, like how do you get a job with Yak Yak or a Kaka Kaka? how do you transition out of basketball with that?
Oh man,
you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you gotta think about. Like, like sports gotta work out for these young men, you know what I'm saying, with those names. Yeah. But yeah, I think Yak Yak is cooler. Like, you could smooth that one out a little bit better. You gonna a Kaka Kaka is very aggressive.
Man, you know what would be funny? We should get a Kaka Kaka and Yak Yak on the podcast.
Hey, that'd be dope.
That'd be crazy.
Hey, we kind of need to go. You know what we need to do for real? At the end of the season, we kind of need to do like a you know, when March Madness, we need to do like a name madness. Ooh. And let the fans pick.
I like that.
The wins. And I don't know how we could do it. We can do it. We gotta go to the roster we went to. And we pick the roster, the names, like the top, whatever. If it's 32, we pick them and let the fans pick how they move. And then we give everybody their seeds. Like a cock and Yak Yak, they're definitely one. They're definitely one, whatever. Well, if it's south, west, whatever, they're on the other side. They can't meet until the finals.
we know what's going to happen. They're going to be in the finals.
They're definitely going to be in the finals. But we let the fans pick. And if the fans mess up, man, that'd be wild. But yeah, we got to do that, man. We got to figure it out. I'll pick a day and just try to drum that up for everybody. Y'all just let me know what y'all want me to do.
Well, I tell you what. I next year, we have to get the name game sponsored.
We do.
Yes.
We do. We really do.
We're going to take it to the next level.
For sure. And I wouldn't – hey, Hennessy or a yak company wants to sponsor. Y'all know y'all got money to throw. Holla at us. Use us as a tax write-off.
Yes, they do. And the Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. All right, just quickly, I'm going to pick for this game my player to watch. I'm going to go with Vic, man. And I'm just trying to send my man some good karma, man, some good energy. I text with him a little bit after the Houston game just to give him some words of encouragement. I'm hoping he stays positive. I'm hoping he comes out and has a big game in front of the home crowd. That's what I'm rolling with, man. Plain and simple. I have nothing more than that. I do think it would be great to see Dan Skillings go off. I think at this point he's, you know, just the way he plays, he's our best player. You know, if you really, really kind of dive through it, like that's the best prospect. I'd love to see Dan play well, but I'm sending that good karma Vic's way and hoping he plays well. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Do you have a business that needs better inventory control, production management, or improved accounting control? Outgrown QuickBooks and can't afford NetSuite? Give loyal Bearcat grads Doug and Kathy Jacobs at Smart Dog Solutions a call. They have been in your position and would love to help you solve all your problems. You can contact them at 513-739-9473 or online at smartdog-solutions.com. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. This is where we cover the keys to the game. JT, what did the Bearcats need to do to win?
Oh, man. All right. So I would love to see the Bearcats not turn the ball over more than 13 times at home. That would make my day. And also, I would like to see them not start slow. Like, I want them to rebound. Like, rebounding is key for sure, but I'm not even going to touch rebounding this game this time. Don't start slow. Like, 2 for 15 can't happen. Backs against the wall. I mean, K-State is a good team, but you're at home. It's time to get a home dub. Don't turn the ball over for no reason. Less than 13 turnovers. Let's shoot the ball at a decent clip, but don't come out 2 for 15. And that doesn't mean come out 2 for 3 for 14. Let's start the game off like at least 5 of 12 or something. Like, I ain't saying you got to light it up on fire, but don't throw the ball away for no reason. Can we not throw the lob unless it's really there too? Like, that's,
man.
Like, cause I'm like, my thing is this, like, I love the lob, but the lob, we have to control the lob usage. Like, I forgot what play was it. I had to tweet it out because I just like, man, and like they threw one and it might have been a Z's under a rim. And then, like, I don't know if it was number 5 that stole it or if it was my man, what's the big man, Roberts. I don't know if it was Roberts or number 5 that stole it, but it was like 2 seconds too late. And it was just like, dog, just stop because they know it's coming. Like, they know it's coming. It was another play. I don't know. But can we just not throw the lob unless it's really there? I would just love that.
Hey, JT.
Please.
JT,
yes.
JT, are we the worst lob-throwing team in the country?
Yes. Yes. I love everybody on the team. Like, that's no diss to anybody. But we are the worst lob-throwing team. Like, we are the worst lob-throwing team I've probably ever seen. No joke. Like, I promise our turnovers throughout the whole year, like, I don't know how many turnovers we have, but I know we at least have 20% of turnovers are bad lobs.
Yeah.
20% of every turnover from this year is a bad lob. And it's like, it's happening so much. Like, just don't throw it, please. Like, give him a chest pass. And if he doesn't dunk it, all right. Tell him, work on that, but like, just don't do it. Cause teams know, like, we did it so much early in the season that people are like playing a lot, especially when Aziz is in the game. I mean, cause Jamil can jump too, but Aziz in the game, that's what they're playing. Just don't freaking throw it. Like, I would be super happy if, even if we have 30 turnovers, like, as long as none of them are off lob passes, unsuccessful lob passes, I'll be happy.
I almost feel like they think because Aziz is so good at catching lobs, if they can just throw it up and he's going to get it. I think they, you know what I mean? Like, instead of like, okay, we got, like with Jamil, I think you have to throw the right lob.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Aziz is like, oh, I can just throw it up. He's going to catch it.
Yeah, because he jumps so fast. Like, because I feel like Jamil jumps with more force.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? But I think, like, Aziz jumps so fast. I think, like, it's, I feel like in practice, or like if you're playing around working on stuff, like with nobody there, it's so easy that you fall in love with it. And I think we have to, like, be smarter, because we turn the ball over so much at times where you're like, man, we should at least got the damn shot off. And you throw it out of bounds because teams are, they steal it because teams are like playing that lob. And people, they see it, man. Like, they know what's going on. They play it a certain way. And we just got to just throw them a chest. Sometimes it's like, man, if you just fake the lob and throw a chest pass, it might go through.
Yep.
And he still dunks it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just got to be smart. And teams, I mean, our teams have to scout it, man. We just got to, if it's not there, just really don't throw it. So that's my thing. Don't just control that lob pass, see less than 13 turnovers, and freaking don't start off like ice cold. Can we just be like 5-13, 6-14 to start the game? You know what I mean? Because I just don't think that's good. I don't know. At home, they just – I don't know. But those are my keys to the game. Those are my keys to the game.
And listen, I'm hoping – can we get a blowout victory at home? Can we get one? And if we do, Neil, what do the Bearcats need to do to get that big blowout win at home this Saturday?
Yeah, I think JT hit it right – the nail on the head. I mean, you can't come out slow. I mean, 2-15 is what they started versus Houston. You started 1-10 to start the game, and then you go 2-15. You just can't have that. You can't have that, especially versus a team where you're expected to win. I believe they are favorites heading into this matchup. So they know that this is a huge opportunity for them. But even Jerome Tang even told the media members today that said, hey, we're going to treat this game like it's an NCAA tournament game because we know they're desperate, but we're more desperate right now. So overall, Kansas State's going to come in here ready to go. But for them to win big, you really just can't get out to a slow start. Whatever they have to do, if they go the first 4 or 5 minutes and shooting 2-15, it could be a long night. And they simply just have to avoid that at all costs. Shoot the ball maybe 40%, because look at what happened versus Houston the other night. They started the game shooting, I think the first half it was 26% from the field. The second half it was 54%. If they shoot 54% from the field in both halves, obviously they win that game. But even if you shoot 35% from the field in the first half, you potentially win that game versus Houston with the way Houston was shooting the ball. So if they can come out, really get off to a nice start, that's one thing. I think right now JT said he wasn't going to hit on it, so I'll hit on it. Rebound the basketball. This is a game where they should out-rebound Kansas State by plus 10, at least plus 10. And they're tallest. They have one player on their roster that is taller than 6'10". They could exploit that. I think this could be the game where Jamil Reynolds, Victor Lockin, Aziz Bandego, now that Victor Lockin is coming off the game he had versus Houston, where he finished with basically a double-double, he's got his confidence back. Could this be the game where Victor Lockin has that big opportunity here in Big 12 moment?
I hope so.
That'd be dope. It's a
possibility that this could happen on Saturday night, because just due to the size and the mismatch, I mean, Kansas State is going to be very physical in the guard play. That's where most of their scoring comes, is from their guards. So they're averaging nearly 30 points a game from their guards. Then you add another 15 from a wing. So, I mean, you're looking at, that's literally all they're scoring right there. So, I mean, play big, get them in foul trouble, and let the bigs go to work. So if they do that, I mean, you can't have 18 turnovers either. So you keep the turnovers under 12, you do that, and I think the Bearcats win by 8 or more. 8-12 points at least if they do all that.
Now, Neil, so let's see. The Bearcats are 16-12, right? Kansas State is 17-11. Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, man, both these clubs need this dub, man.
And man. Kansas State has been awful on the road. 2-6 away in contests on the road this season. And they are 1-2 on neutral sites. So they are sitting at 3-8 roughly on games outside of their home arena. This is a huge opportunity for the Bearcats on Saturday.
It sounds great. Remember the last team that had one on the road?
Yeah, don't
one on the road it, here.
Say it, JT.
Yep.
And I don't want that to happen, you know. But damn it, we gotta pull it off. But last time that happened, I was like, man, can't happen, right? But yeah.
And this is a Kansas State team coming off a overtime victory versus West Virginia, where they went 94-90 with a win in overtime. So I mean, they're coming off a win, but they had to fight versus West Virginia to get it done. Now, UC had a different outcome versus West Virginia the first time, but they're coming off a win. Cincinnati's coming off a loss, but it's gonna be a fun one. And it is the NBA Jam throwback game again this weekend at Fifth Third Arena. Have to throw that in there.
Oh, what are they? Are they wearing what uniforms are they wearing? Did they say?
I haven't seen anything yet, but it's the throwback game. Remember how last year they had the throwback NBA Jam kind of UC?
Yeah. Well, they're doing that again. The scoreboard was like, yeah.
They're doing that again on Saturday.
Okay, cool. So did they wear the throwback uniforms last year, that game?
I believe so.
Because we just warmed, right?
We just warmed on the road.
Okay. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. Okay, so a couple thoughts I have real quick. So we just mentioned Kansas State is 17-11. Neil, you just said they beat West Virginia in overtime. They also just beat BYU, correct?
Correct, so, and they've also beat Baylor and Kansas this season as well in overtime.
Yeah, so something you just said, Neil, really sticks out. 2-6 on the road. Now, with that being said, I'm going to take what JT said and throw this in there. We've got to get started quickly in this game. Mm-hmm. We've got to get Kansas State rattled from the get-go. Get the crowd going. So here's my recipe for success. Get going early, get them rattled, have a lead at halftime, and have a good run to start the second half. And I think we'll be fine. Don't play around and like, you know, be down at halftime, think we're going to come back, the crowd's going to get into it. No. Let's get started early. Let's get them rattled, be up at half, start that second half with a 6-0 run and just cruise it through. Now, listen, it's college basketball. It's Big 12. Teams are going to come back. They're going to make a run in the second half. But if we have a comfortable lead, you know, I'm cool with that. Just get the dub, but like you said, JT, man, we got to start off, right?
Got to, man, because it's just like it's so much pressure, man. So starting off, it gives you cushion. You see what happens? Houston, they started off well. UC made that run. They had such a cushion that it didn't matter as much. I mean, it mattered, but it didn't. They still got the dub. That's all that mattered at the end of the day. You spot them 10 points. Are you just playing bad? It just then they're not playing great, and then they start playing good. I mean, basketball is a game of spurts, so man, you don't want to spot them that, especially on the road and the confidence. They're playing for you know, NCAA hopes, and we're playing for possible hopes as well. I mean, ours are dimmer, but they only got one more win than us, right? So it's like, overall, so it's like, man, you got to win when you can win in this conference, and you can't let anybody off the hook. And like you said, man, they can't come out slow, man. They have to come out, put your foot on their neck, proverbially. Don't get any texts unless you up by a lot. And I wouldn't be mad at Wes if he got tech against at the Houston game, especially after that call on his E's. But
right.
That was crazy, man. I don't know.
Worst flagrant call in sports history.
Flagrant? If you want to give me a
typical rebound attempt, and that was a great flop job by Jamal Shedd.
And if you just want to if you don't call that during the live play, you can't call it a flagrant.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's my thing. You gotta let that go.
Didn't go 10 feet behind him on the flop. I mean, it wouldn't have even got looked at because he did. Azeez Bandego did not even touch him. Did not even touch him. That was the worst.
Yeah.
That call changed the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was the worst call. Like, they thought the Hunter Dickinson flagrant was bad in the TCU matchup. That call was arguably
worse. That was bad.
That was arguably worse than that.
That was bad. Very bad.
The Kenyon segment keys to the game was sponsored by Greg Hooden of Beachmont Toyota. Come see fellow Bearcat Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota for all your Toyota needs, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota is ready to help you get into your new Toyota. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. This is where we cover hot topics. All right, fellas, I didn't prep you for this one again. I want to catch you off, give you a little curveball. You guys ready?
Go for it.
Okay. This is Would You Rather. You've got two choices. You can be one of two Bearcat greats. One will be a basketball player. The other will be a football player. And you can pick one or the other, but both made historic plays in action during the game. So, JT, I'm going to start with you. Would you rather be Melvin Levitt and have the game-winning dunk versus Duke, or would you rather be Armon Benz with the winning touchdown, the pike to Benz?
That's tough. Okay. I'm going with helicopter. I'd rather be helicopter.
Why?
All right. Two different reasons. All right, you beat number one Duke. It was iconic. Both of them were iconic, though. Don't get me wrong.
Very much so. Very iconic.
Very much. Very much. But the thing is, like, when you play basketball opposed to football, I don't respect football, love football, everybody know who you are. So the thing is, Melvin Levitt doesn't have to tell people who he is, essentially, right? Where if he goes to Jeff Ruby's to get some food, or if he goes to the local McDonald's to get a Big Mac and some fries and he's hungry, it's going to work out for him. that's Levitt. Let me give him an extra fry. Let me give him a milkshake or something. You know what I'm saying? That stuff, when you're in college, that stuff comes in handy. You know that, Meech, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it might be, I don't know, somebody might hold his shoes for him. He might want some extra shoes. I'm going to go with Levitt. And then the girls, too, man. You know what I'm saying? Basketball team. No way. So you got to think about that. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit easier. And I know football players, they had their way, too. So, but you got less. You know what I'm saying? I feel like y'all had more juice. So this is like more of a, like I'm telling you, basketball team had more juice. So. Football players don't get pissed about that. It's always been like that. It's just how it goes. But, you know what I'm saying, got more juice. You played, Duke is arguably the best basketball. I mean, top five in basketball history, right? Is that fair? Like, yeah. UNC, Duke, you know what I mean? To do that against Duke, the spoils you can get, the people know who you are, and just for it to happen, like we'll be dead and gone, Melvin will be dead and gone, and people will still be talking about that play because it was just so, like, electrifying. And another one could go the other way, too. So, like, but I just think, I don't know, it's just, like, everything about UC basketball was, like, on display. Like, they went there, punched him in the mouth, and got the dub. So, it's like...
JT, would you say... Was Melvin Levitt's dunk during your lifetime the most iconic Bearcat sports play moment? Can you think of another?
There's a couple dope ones, but that's probably the most. I feel like Sean Kilpatrick had a real big one when he beat Louisville. Cash had a good one when they beat Bama.
Yeah, the little fade, the fadeaway.
Yeah, that was like one that you always remember. Like, damn, that was a cold ass play. Troy Copain had a real dope one in the tournament against Purdue when he went coast to coast. Mm-hmm. But a dunk like that to win the game is crazy.
I don't think anything touches, first of all, the play itself, and then the way Melvin.
Yeah.
Known, you know, to be a
He's
dunk.
Known for that. Like, people, like, I seen Melvin at the last game. People were like, I always talk to Melvin when I see him, but like, he didn't see me, but like, he was taking pictures. Like, people were just like stopping him. He was walking to his seat. People were just stopping him and getting pictures. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's just that, you know, he's that guy. So I just feel like, and I feel like Ben's gets the love, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, this basketball program is so like rich with history. That's like one of like the most, the play that stand out, like the one of the, I mean, no matter how you think about it, it's probably like a top five play in the history of this in this program. And like, he'll always be known for that. Like, that's like, it's almost like an ID.
Yep. Yep.
You know? So like, yep. I'll take that. And he probably still gets free stuff to this day because of that dunk.
All right, so JT's going with Mel.
Yep.
Neil, your pick.
Yeah, so obviously I'm going with Pike to Benz just because, unfortunately, I was not around to witness that Melvin dunk in person, but I have seen the videos tremendous times.
What year were you born, Neil?
99.
Damn, he wasn't even born when it happened, was he?
Man, that's crazy. Yeah,
that's crazy.
But I've seen the videos. Seen the videos, but Pike to Benz was something I will remember as a childhood, throughout my childhood.
Well, shit, how old were you for that play?
Pike to Benz, that happened in 2009. I was 9.
Okay.
Sheesh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I remember Pike to Benz pretty well. Obviously, you remember where you were when it happened. You remember your reaction. It was like, oh, he actually caught that ball. Like, you knew where you were at for Pike to Benz. And let's be honest, when people talk UC football, that's one of the memories that came up. I mean, that was the headline of the whole UC Pitt matchup this past season was, hey, the last time UC played here, Pike to Benz happened. So, like, pregame, you're out there checking out the field, checking out the stadium, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's the end zone. This is right here where this play happened. And it was pretty cool, too, because Tony Pike is still around very frequently. Armand Benz was on staff over the last few seasons before leaving to go do, I believe he's at Northwestern now. So,
was he?
Yeah, he was on Fickell staff for what, JT, 2 years?
Maybe 2 years.
Yeah, he was on Fickell staff as a
wide receiver. Quality control or something?
Yeah, quality control wide receivers coach. So, overall, we built a great relationship with Armand Benz, and we still have a good relationship with Tony Pike. So, overall, that's a memory that stands out for me personally. So I have to go with Tony Pike, the Pike to Benz memory right there.
Now, you know what's funny about that real quick, Neil, is that if you remember, I think it was snowing that game, right? At Pitt game. It was really cold. All right, it was at Pitt. I remember because I was supposed to go, but I couldn't go. I can't remember why. I had some friends go. And the Bearcats were losing, and it was like freezing. My friends left. They missed that.
I bet they regret it too now, right?
Oh man, every time I see them, they've since moved and live in the South now. But whenever I see them, we still talk about that because I remember I was supposed to go, and I remember my buddy Ben text me, and he was like, "Man, it's a good thing you didn't come on this trip, man. It is freezing. Bearcats don't look good. We're out of here." The tides change, man. He's so salty. But you know, my dad would always say, man, like, you know, you spend money on a ticket, stay to the end.
He always
says that. You know, we were at high school, my staff and I were at high school playoff games all week, and we were at one game, and one of my coaches said, yeah, I'm probably going to get out of here. And my other coach said, yeah, I wouldn't do that. The other team might come back and you don't know. And he was like, you think so? He's like, man, you never know. Sure enough, came back. It was a tie game towards the end. And yeah, it's but he was ready to leave. He's like, oh, it's over. But you just never know. You know what I mean?
Never know.
The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. So of course I gotta go with Mel. I was there, and the crazy part about it is I watched the video of it, and I watch sometimes there's like an angle where you can see me on the bench, and I'm kind of jumping up and down. I'll be honest with you, I blacked out. I do not remember it. I do not remember, like, I of course I remember the play, but I don't remember actually thinking about watching it on the bench. Because when we were in a timeout, I'll never forget this. When we were in the timeout leading to that play, I was nervous, man. I'm like, we cannot lose this game. And we were up, what, 19 at halftime? Something like that, 19 at halftime? And I'm just saying the entire time, like, don't lose this game. Don't lose this game. And we get down that last play, and Hugs goes, all right, we're going to run home run. Fletch, you're taking it out. Ken, you jump up. So basically the deal is, you know, Fletch throws the ball to Ken. Ken's deal is Ken's got to do he could do several things, but one of it is when he catches in the air to not come down, to throw the ball to Mel while he's in the air. Okay. That's one option.
Yeah.
The other one is to come down after you catch it and turn and pass, or catch it, come down, and then you make the play. So there were a couple options off of that. But what happened was Trajan Langdon was guarding Mel, and if you go back and look, he slipped a little bit. And that's why Mel was so open. So if Ken goes down with the ball and then turns and pass, the play doesn't happen like that. So you know, we practice it over and over. And what's crazy is that's the play that Duke used to beat Kentucky in the championship game. The play we ran against them was the play that you've always seen on TV where they throw at the late.
Oh, Christian Laettner?
That's the play. We ran their play on them.
Oh, damn.
It's called home run. That was their play.
Grant Hill throws it, boom. Then he turned around and shoots it, though. Okay.
So that's the other option out of that where you can turn and, you know, make a play.
Okay.
And so that's why you want to get it to a guy like Kenyon. He's just so tall and jumps so high. You just throw it up, he's going to get it, right?
Yeah, you get it close, yeah.
And he's so freaking smart. His IQ is Kenyon's IQ, basketball IQ is through the roof. So you know he's going to make the right play. And
true.
Of course he did. And but I just remember, man, we got out of that timeout. I was in a different world, man. I just different world, man. That whole trip was truly amazing. But I'm gonna leave out on this one. The beauty of that game and that trip was going into that Great Alaska Shootout. Hugs told us what was gonna happen. He said we were gonna make it to the championship game. We were gonna play Duke. It was gonna be a battle, and we were gonna win. Like, he had this whole thing scripted out. And it happened just the way he kind of said it, man. And the beauty of that is after that happened, how could you not believe everything that man says to us? You know what I mean? It's like, we've got faith. And like, when he tells us do this, do that, because this is what we're going to be like, all right, you've been right before, and you're going to be right again.
True.
So my guy Hugs, man, I'll never forget that moment. The Twyman segment was sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Visionary Cleaners is a locally owned company by former Bearcat student athletes. They specialize in high quality commercial cleaning of businesses, apartment, and pre and post construction cleans. They can be reached at 513-388-7816 or contact online visionarycleaners.com. Fellas, this concludes another great podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Donahue Accounting Services, Smart Dog Solutions, Greg Hood at Beachmont Toyota, and Visionary Cleaners. Just want to remind all Bearcat fans, I will be at Mio's before the Kansas State game from 5:15 to 6:15. My guests, JT and Neil, will be This is going to be the walk-on podcast. Got John Meeker, Zach Tover, and Brandon Miller. It's going to be the walk-on podcast, baby. I'm really, you know, I'm excited for this one.
Nice.
And, oh, yeah. The next podcast after that one on March 9th, I will have the legendary Steve Logan. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services, a leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio. Our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online, DonahueAccountingService.com. We want to thank all the Bearcat fans for listening to another episode of the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast. Go Bearcats!